Hello and welcome back. My name is Tiff, the Behind the Collective podcast host. Today we chat with Nikki Lyons, who has set the women's world record by shearing 395 Merino lambs in just 8 hours. We talk about her love for wool, the industry, and what it takes to complete a world record. This episode is part of the Australian Wool Innovation and the Livestock Collective Partner Program, and we love hearing feedback on what events you want to see us at, what webinars you think we need to have, and what you want to be listening to in your cab or in your car. So please complete the survey. The link is in our bio, or reach out to us on any social media platforms.
The first question is always the hardest. Tell us, who are you? What do you do? Where are you sitting today recording this interview from?
Nikki Lyons. I am a shearer, a mother, and a yogi, and I am currently sitting in my car between the dash to Canberra and school pickup recording this podcast.
I say it quite often, but my favourite thing about trapping people into podcast episodes, and that's what it is, I trap you guys, is it's always as authentic as it gets. There's no beautiful podcast studios. It's always like people who are busy on the run doing life, just squeezing us in. So, no, thank you so much. Now, that's really interesting. I'm going to, go straight into that. Yogi and shearer, which one came first?
Definitely the shearing. I learned to shear at 17, and when I was 24, I was married and my first child was on the way, so I avoided the shearing sheds. And when I had my third child, I decided, well, I'd like to start getting back into work, and I thought I'd go down the line of teaching yoga because I really enjoyed yoga. I had just started teaching yoga, and that is when COVID hit. And it shut down all of the studios. You could no longer go into the schools and teach yoga to the kids and things like that. And it also just became a mountain of paperwork just to run a yoga class. Mm-hmm. And that was when I picked up the handpiece again. So that was my way of earning an income again.
Okay. Well, there you go. So what inspired you to start at 17 shearing?
Yeah, so I went to an ag school in Western Australia. I went to Harvey Agricultural College, and I actually went there with interest in beef cattle because we had a small mob of Dexter cattle and we used to show them. And it was in year 12 that I learned to shear and instantly knew straight away, this is for me. I really want to do this. This is my version of fun. And after shearing the school sheep, I went with a small group of students to a school outside of the school, like an AWA-funded school, and I further improved my skills there again. So when I left school, I straight away got myself a learner's kit. Mum and Dad helped me out with the funding there, and I got a job in Boyatbrook working for Iron Piper, did an up shearing.
And now what does that look like? So like a learner shearer, how do you get your first stand? I know that's a question some have. Did you just make call around and say, listen, give me a job, or, you know, before you even get to that shearing, or did you already shear your first 100 by that point and it was a little bit easier?
No, so I think it was through the contacts of my ag school supervisor. Her son-in-law was a contractor in Boyatbrook, and she made that contact for me and got me a start. Mm-hmm. And it was a 10-stand weather shed. That was my first job. And I was shearing about 80 a day, and that was just momentum going forward.
Yeah. And do you remember the day you shore your first 100? Because that's quite a significant thing in the shearing world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I actually took a little while to get to the 100. But once I got there, I stayed there. And same again, it took a little while to get to the 200. But once I got there, I stayed there. I never went back down lower, which I guess was working on that consistency in your pattern and on your work ethic and your fitness. So instead of blowing yourself up one day to shear 200 and then shearing 110 the next day, you know, that's no good for a contractor to employ you. So it was really about being consistent and predictable.
And as a woman, was it a little like, did you have to say really, because like biologically we're just that little bit, I'm not weaker, we're not weak by any means, but muscle and, you don't see, they say that's why there's not as many women shearing. So was that something you took into account, like your, physical health and staying on top of your fitness, doing consistent like muscle exercises or something like that when you were just shearing? This is pre, I want to get into this world record, but this is just, in the sheds.
Yeah, so in the sheds, no, I wasn't doing any extra fitness training. I didn't take up fitness training until I came back shearing after kids because the body was definitely not the same after having four kids. And I realized if I'm going to be able to keep up with kids and shear, I really needed to increase my fitness. I was never a big drinker. I might have a drink on the weekend, but even then, I cut all of that out and I just noticed that significant improvement in my fitness.
And the yoga. So when did you said you was it during COVID? Well, just before COVID, you became an actual yoga teacher, but the actual doing yoga, getting, into it, where does that come into it? And was that to help your body at the end of the hard day shearing?
Yeah, so I got into doing a yoga class when my girls were little because I had three girls in 3 years and I just needed some mummy time. So a friend took me to a yoga class and I was like, oh, I really enjoyed that. And I kept going and thought, oh, that would be something I'm interested in teaching as well. So I went and learned the practice and started teaching adult yoga. And then I further improved my studies and I did their kids yoga teacher training. But it was just when I was starting to teach kids yoga that COVID hit and shut everything down. But yes, yoga is still a practice for me. I work with Matt Luxton for my fitness training, and instead of the mobility, he actually just writes yoga, and I do me. So.
And so would you encourage other shearers to do it?
Absolutely. I think coming back, realizing the flexibility that I had and the stabilization I had around my hips from doing the yoga, I came back and just never got a backache. And I thought, there's something in that. Like, I'm not using a backache and I'm not getting a backache. Clearly, looking after yourself goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. Like a day in the shed, so that is a long day of quite like consistent tasks. How do you stay motivated and focused, shearing to get through all the sheep every day, if that makes sense, and then front up the next day for another physical day of work?
Yeah, I think everyone has their own mental tactics on challenging days. For me, I actually use my husband's mental tactic, which is don't think about it. Like, just walk in the catching pen, grab another sheep and shear it. Don't think about it. Like, yeah, don't let your mind go off into a place where you see how many there are to shear and how much time is left, and or you see how large they are. And you try and chase a telly, it's just don't think about it, and you shear your best days then.
Yeah, that's awesome. And tell us about this record for those who
Yeah, so
don't know that.
I was the first female to set a merino lamb world record, and only the second Australian female to attempt a record behind my good friend Janine King. It was definitely a record I'd wanted to do 20 years in the making. For me, I love the merino and I particularly like the merino lamb. And it just, yeah, all that time at home and spending it with kids and time away from the handpiece, like the dream just never went away. And the opportunity arose and I just thought, I have to take this. I have to do it. I can live with myself if I try and fail, but I can't live with myself if I just never try.
And so, how did you prepare for that? So you were on maternity leave, identified your body needed to recover from having, children. And at what point post getting back into it did you say, righto, now's the time we're going for it?
Yeah, so when my fitness started to increase and I was shearing reasonably good tellies for the time that I was at work, I was only shearing the school hours. And it was coming up to my son would be starting primary school and all my kids would be at the same school, one pick up, one drop off. And I thought if there's any year to do it, that's the year. I think it works best with my kids. And a year out from that year, I got diagnosed with knee dysplasia. So I found out my knees were in bad shape and I had early onset osteoarthritis. I was pretty much sold quit shearing, get an office job. I'm glad I didn't take that advice. But in the year to follow, I went through rounds of knee injections. I tried different knee braces and reached for pain relief as I needed it. But to be honest, all of the increased muscle in my legs that I've got from the fitness training has been a game changer for me. It's definitely saved my shearing career and my knees. But it was when I went back into the surgeon's office a year later, I decided to get the MRIs done again and see what how quickly they were deteriorating. And at that stage, they had held. So as I walked out of the surgeon's office, I just thought, yeah, it's now or never. Like I've still got 3 mils of cartilage in that left knee. I'm going to give this a crack. So went into full swing fitness training for a record and started putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. And that's how I got there.
And so what did the training look like? How do you prepare for a record? You know, diet, like physically training, mental training. What was that entire process?
Yeah, so I did all of that. So I reached out to a naturopath because I knew I was someone prone to getting pretty tired and run down. So I looked after my adrenal system. Nutrition-wise, I had already been well invested in that with Matt years prior and tweaking it and working out the grams of protein and how many carbs that I need and also what protein worked best for me. Mental training, I started working with Jeffrey Hodges, who is Sports Mind Coach. It's heavily NLP based, but it was really good about, I guess, working out where you hold yourself back, and maybe you didn't realize it. But yeah, that was a 6 month journey with him, and I definitely benefited from it in many aspects of my life.
And the actual, like, you know, I think about, say, like a sprinter before the Olympics. They have a coach there saying, you're doing 100 meters here, you're doing 5 laps, da da da. Was it in sheep? Was that how the training worked? Like minimum 50 sheep a day, or how did that part of it look?
Yeah, so at the end of the day, it depends on shape. So I can't go to the shed and be like, right, 70 run today, because the sheep might not allow that.
Yeah.
And I do live in an area where the sheep can be quite tough. So shearing high numbers isn't necessarily your training, but a lot of the sheep were shorn in my head. So getting my shearing pattern was a lot of mental training and practicing it in my head because the sheep weren't available to me.
Yeah.
And especially merino lambs, there's not many people that shear a merino milk lamb, or even a merino lamb at all. They often carry them forward to that weaner stage where you shear them at 9 months with a little bit of extra wool on them.
Yeah, so you just focused on the things that you could control, I suppose. And then now the days leading up to what did that, where did you have to go? Or you know, you would have had to register. Did someone come out and record it? How did that process look?
Yeah, so registering for a record's very easy. You just pay money and you submit the application and they're happy to take the money and then they get back to you in regards to confirming your day. The Record Judge Society require a 30-day minimum, so I chose to go with that 30 days, just because predicting the wool weight of a merino lamb can be quite challenging. So, you know, it was the best estimation that we could, and we got it right. But yeah, we gave ourselves as close to the date as possible before registering it. And then once that was registered, it was all systems go. Like everything behind the scenes had already been done. Like I'd reached out to sponsorships months in advance. We got shirts printed. We all got the merino polo, which I got great feedback about. Everyone that got a shirt just loved it. Well, I can highly recommend the merino polo. We got all the sponsors printed on the shirt. They were given out to the volunteers on the day and also just members of the public, anyone that came and watched, any sponsors that turned up. So there were a few freebies that were given around. But basically, everything was set in place. It was just once we submitted that application that was all systems go, and modifying the shed and getting it out on social media and paying the insurance, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And at what point did it feel very real? Like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this thing I've wanted my entire life.
It wasn't until my friend Janine screenshot the application for the record, and it was on the World Record Society Future Attempts, and there was my name and there was the location. I was like, ah, look at that, I'm on there.
And what, despite what any shearer says, you guys are athletes. Like, you had to do everything that an Olympian would do in a lead up to a competition. Like, I feel like shearers don't give themselves enough credit for like the physical aspect of their job.
Yeah, and you know what? The Olympian doesn't have to organise the Olympics. They just get to turn up and all of everything. Like, I had to organise my Olympics.
So true. No, that is so, so true. What's your favourite thing? I suppose, what was the best, at what point did it feel like, what was your favourite feeling from this? You know, was it your kids at the end, or I don't know, like, is there a standout moment from this record?
So the record got postponed one day because my sheep weren't dry enough, and the amount of messages of support that I received from my team in regards to, you know, you got this, it's just a day later, you know, chin up. It was just humbling to know that I had so many people that had my back. Yeah. I really wasn't alone doing that record. And I think throughout the whole process of it, you know, they say that doing the record's a selfish thing because you have to put yourself first. Like, I'd actually disagree with that. Like, in my time of record training, I've watched my husband try and quit smoking twice. My daughter played cricket for the first time. She went in completely green, never played cricket before, and walked away one of the best bowlers of the season. All of my daughters got an academic award at the end of the year. Like, there was just so much achievement that rippled through the household. And I look back now and it was like, well, that wasn't all me. I was just being a role model and I was just being myself. And it's just the only difference where my needs were now met and I was being who I am. And it was almost like giving people permission to be like, yeah, actually, I'll give that a crack. I know it's hard, but I'm going to try. And I don't think there's ever a failed attempt at anything. Like, you just have to give it a go and try.
Yes, we're just listening to you talk. I, in a way, am envious from what you said, like when the first time you saw and you knew this is what you were meant to do, like you had that sense of connection and freedom. And it's amazing. I don't know, I suppose as a mother particularly, because the reality is, it's hard. Like you're putting the need, you have to, like, the needs of so many other people ahead of your own, but then you're able to reconnect and be like, okay, this is who I am at my core, and put, you know, make that a priority. Like, there's only ever good things to come from that, I think. Yeah, but you're also very lucky, I suppose, to have such a strong connection to like your career. It's an awesome thing. So good on you for pursuing it. So
yeah. And I think I was just like lucky as well. Getting back into it. Like, I never dreamed that I could get back into it after having kids, because I just look at it and think, gosh, how can it work? I can't hire a babysitter, but the cost is just extreme.
Well, on that though, how to remain shearing, like, not so much the record, but even just in the workforce, was the contractor you work for, did you just say, I want to come shear for you, but I can only work? How did those conversations happen for any other mums who might be, you know, trying to work out the same? How did you navigate that?
Yeah, so I went out to see my husband on a Friday afternoon, and it was cutout day at this particular shed, and the contractor was on the stand and shearing away. He was doing it pretty tough. He hadn't shorn in a while. And I went up and said hello to him, and he asked me when I was coming back, and I said, oh, can I work school hours and school terms? And then he just looked at me and said, I don't care what the F you do, just come back. So I walked up the board, I borrowed my husband's gear, and I shore for the rest of the afternoon in a pair of tracksuit pants with no shoes. And that's how I got to start back in the industry.
Yeah.
So it definitely wasn't planned. It was always hoped for, but yeah, that's the way I got it handed back to me, I suppose.
And yeah, what is your favourite thing about working in the sheds? The morning tea?
Yeah, the hour nap at lunchtime. How good is that? I just really enjoy the people, and I like the change of location, that your job's never in the same place. I really enjoy that flexibility of it, and I do a lot of work for myself now, doing poppy farm jobs, and it's just being able to fit it in around the kids. Like, I'm still an active part of my children's lives, and I'm there for cross country, I'm there for sports carnivals and award days and things like that. And I think that I'm really lucky to be able to have that balance. And, you know, it doesn't come without its hardship. There's a lot of times I don't have work, or there's a lot of times there's too much work, and I don't have a very long break. I might have to have 15-minute smokers and a 20-minute lunch, and or I just shear two massive big runs by myself of 3 hours and have a little 15-minute break in the middle of it. So there's times it's hard, and there's times it's very rewarding.
And your favourite thing about wool?
Oh, I'm such a fabric person. I just like how it feels on my skin, in particular the fine wool merino. But it was actually my second-born daughter was a bad eczema baby, and I bought her some really fine wool merino stuff, and it settled her skin as well. Like, she couldn't wear anything slightly harsh, especially sleeping. So, yeah, I just love all the benefits that there are to wearing wool. And definitely now as a mum, like, I'm very eco-conscious. Like, what is the world that I'm leaving behind for my children and my grandchildren? And wool is such a renewable energy source. Like, it is such a renewable fibre. It's basically grown off green grass and sunshine.
Even as a yogi too, do you have some wool fits, some wool, you know, active wear?
I'm still trying to find some, to be honest. There's, I do like my merino shirts, things like that. I don't have merino leggings. I'm on the hunt for some. Definitely a fan of all the socks. But, yeah, I'll always have, like, my big woolen jacket. So when you get to Shavasana and I get to lay on the mat for 5 minutes undisturbed, it's like, yeah, I'm rugged up. As soon as I start relaxing, I get cold.
And what has, you know, I suppose I hate asking people what's next, because I feel like it almost like means we're taking away from what you've just done. But what, you know, was there something that you've inspired to pursue now after all of the training you've done, or are you just enjoying this period of time? Yeah.
Definitely enjoying the increased fitness at the moment, going to work and being able to just lift and be like, okay, I have this many sheep to do in school hours. I'm going to set myself a challenge and see if I can get it done.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I get my kids to walk to a park after school, and I pick them up from there in the event that I'm running a little bit late. And yesterday was a big day, and I worked my butt off to make sure I was there to pick my kids up from the park on time. And they were like, oh, can't you be late? We want to play at the park for a bit. I'm like, you guys are just underwhelming me of my talents right now.
The things I had to do to be here.
I know. I'd really achieved big in the day. Just like, oh, can't you be late? We want to play at the park.
No, I love that. Thank you so much. Is there anything you want to add, or any advice you'd have to anyone who's pursuing a record? Because I don't know, it's incredible the processes that's involved in it. It's not as simple as just going rocking up one day and cheering, is it?
No, I think my advice would be, you're never too old and it's never too late.
Yeah, love it. Oh, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Nikki, for your time. I love and am inspired by your passion for the wool industry, and hopefully that's inspired people to pursue a career in it.